Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. I'm Dr. Carol Myers, a professor in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. I'm joined by Dr. Tammy Wyatt, who is an Associate Dean for Research in the College of Nursing and the co-director of the UT Health Information Technology and Simulation Lab. Our topic today is wearables. One third of Americans currently use a wearable device, and this number is growing. Well-known wearable devices include Apple and other smartwatches, Fitbits, and other fitness trackers. This is a high-growth industry. There's smart rings, smart bracelets, smart earrings on the markets, and the types of data that are tracked include medical, biological, and exercise data. We can look at body temperature, blood pressure, physical activity, steps taken, distance traveled, menstrual cycles, hot flashes, calories burned, and UV exposure, and the list continues to grow. Undoubtedly, many people will be gifted with a wearable during the holiday season, and these devices will quickly be put to good use as we segue to the new year and people resolve to be more healthy and fit. Welcome, Dr. Wyatt. It's a pleasure to have you join us.
Thank you, Dr. Myers.
Dr. Wyatt, can you elaborate on the major uses of wearable technology?
I think it's important to first understand that really when you talk about wearables, there's two categories. One is the consumer wearables. The other is medical devices. And the reason why you need to know this is because consumer wearables are not regulated. There is no regulating body. So knowing if the tracker and the wearable that you're using is quality is difficult, as opposed to a medical device wearable. And those are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. For example, any glucose monitoring device that's a wearable, that's considered a medical device. So back to the consumer wearables. We do see an uptake in those, and there are thousands on the market. The reality is the wearable itself is really meaningless without the application that has to accompany it. So when you're selecting your wearable, it's just as important for you to understand the application that supports it. The biggest hurdle to overcome is making sure that the consumer wearable is something that you will attend to over time and not bore with it within 3 months. The way to do that is to make sure that the application is engaging you in some way. It's either engaging you with artificial intelligence or it's engaging you with other groups. Runners, bikers, kayakers, and it becomes a little bit of a competition or game. So the more interactivity there is in the application that supports the wearable, the more likely you are to stick with it and the more likely you are to appreciate and see it as a valuable tool.
Let's continue with this dichotomy between medical wearables and consumer wearables. And I want to focus specifically on the safety of the personal data. Is there a difference between the medical wearables and the consumer wearables?
Yes, there's a very big difference. Because the medical devices are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, there are very rigid criteria that these must meet, including the protection of the data. However, because the consumer wearables do not have a regulating body, you should not assume that it is protected. I think that's really important for consumers to understand.
How has the pandemic impacted utilization of wearable devices?
We've really seen a significant uptake in wearable devices during this time of a pandemic. And also, the medical device has been uptick as well. Here's the reason. During this pandemic, there's been more telehealth services. And with the telehealth services, there's often individuals or patients who have to be monitored. They might be using these medical devices and being monitored from a distance. Additionally, the consumer wearables, people are really interested in maintaining their health and wellness during a difficult time during a pandemic. But let's just be clear, these applications that support the wearables, there are just as many applications that don't require a wearable and can be categorized as a well-being app. Those that track your nutrition, those that track your mental health and well-being.
Our listeners would have the option of looking at a wearable or perhaps just putting an app on their phone that would remind them to meditate or facilitate their meditation or their outdoor activity or exercise. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, absolutely. So if there's something about wearing a sensor that bothers you and you still feel a little creepy about that, there are so many applications that can support and promote your health and well-being that do not require the sensor.
Okay, so I have to decide if I'm going to get one of these smart rings. But what barriers and facilitators do you see to sustained use of wearable technology?
We've kind of alluded to a few of them already. The most obvious is a sensor that's comfortable. Probably the most popular wearable sensor is a wrist sensor. But there are also chest sensors. There are also, just like you've already implied, ring sensors. So these are some of the things that you want to consider so that it's not a barrier. The other matter is that the wearable is only going to be as good as the application that's supporting it. So you need to spend as much time investigating the application to support it as the wearable. For example, a Fitbit. You don't have to use the Fitbit application. There are many applications that recognize the Fitbit sensor technology. So the sky is the limit for the applications that you can use. So you need to choose one that's really appealing to you and is drawing you into the interactivity and the engagement.
So I want to buy some sort of wearable device for someone on my Christmas list. And I'm understanding now that I shouldn't be focused solely on the device. How can I determine what application is going to work best for the person I'm buying the device for? What are some of the most common characteristics I should look for?
Searching for your wearables, you know, most people are going to choose the wearables that have a branding and they're well known. And that probably is going to work pretty well for a sensor. But when it comes to the applications, because there are so many, and when I say so many, I'm talking in the thousands, there are a few things that you should watch for when selecting those. My insurance company actually made some recommendations about applications to use. So I would encourage any of your listeners to visit the insurance websites. Are they making recommendations about certain applications? You know that if your insurance company is making a recommendation, then they have done their homework and background to see if these are reliable and valid applications. You also want to look at the source that it's coming from. Is it a well-known source or is it a company that's developed this that you've never heard of? Here's another big one. Is the application updated frequently? You certainly don't want to engage an application that doesn't have frequent updates because that tells you right there that there's not a whole lot of attention going into the application. The other matter that you can look for is, can you tell that a healthcare expert was somehow engaged in the development and the maintenance of the app? So when you're looking on an app store, you should be able to see a little bit of information about the developers. Look for a healthcare expert to make sure that your app has some valid and reliable information and content.
This is Dr. Tammy Wyatt from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Wyatt, thanks for sharing your expertise with us today on wearable devices and applications.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Myers, for the invitation. It was a pleasure being with you and your listeners.